Somebody say amen on this morning. How many know that Jesus always provides? He is a provider. He is a sustainer. He is the one who can do anything but fail. And that's why we come into this house to worship him who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in the midst. And so I bring greetings on this morning from the World Harvest Outreach, Seventh-day Adventist Church. And I bring greetings from my lovely wife and my two boys, Ian and Noah. And I want to say a special thank you to my pastor. Growing up, Pastor Bushner was my pastor at the Salem Seventh-day Adventist Church in Pompano Beach, Florida. And I thank God that I grew up under strong preaching, under great leadership of he and his lovely wife. And I just want to say thank you for the opportunity to come and minister here on today at the Message of Hope Seventh-day Adventist Church. I thank God. I love what you your theme is, we win. And I believe winning is what God desires for each and every one of us to do as children of the living God. And so on today, as we dive into winning and the family and how we win as a family, how we win as a church, how we win as individuals, I believe that the Lord has a word for us. If you grab your Bibles really quickly on this morning and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 22, and I want to look very quickly at verse 37 through verse 40 in the word of the living God. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 37 through verse 40 in God's word. I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. And the Bible says this: Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy, what everybody? With all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is unto it, thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Lord says, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. For just a few moments, I want to speak to you from the message entitled Healing for Your Damaged Emotions. Healing for damaged emotions. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to proclaim the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our lives today. Father, you are our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand. Now, Father, I pray that you would open up your word, speak into our lives, because we are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Let somebody say amen. You know, one of the things that I find in Christian circles and importantly in churches is that we have a tendency to think that because we get saved, because we come to church, because we sing songs, and because we read our Bibles, means that healing goes to every facet of our lives. I want you to hear me on this morning for just a moment. Just because you are saved doesn't mean that salvation reaches the level of your damaged emotions. Oh, I want you to hear me on today, because I've met saved people who still damaged. I met Christian people who are still mean as billy goats. I've met people who can quote scripture, but they hate themselves. And the more I'm reading in my word of God, I'm recognizing is that the damaged emotions often affect us on the relational level. Yes, it does. And so as I've been doing this, I've just been realizing, I said, you know, here's one of the things I found is that one of the reasons why and the difficulty in all of this is because emotional damage does not hurt or differ and function like physical damage. Let me say that. Let me explain it to you like this. If you have a injure your eye, because your eye is critical to your daily functions, because you have a tendency to seek healing and medical attention immediately. But here are a couple of reasons why you do this. First of all, I mentioned is that you cannot function. If you injure your eye, then you probably cannot drive. If you injure your eye, you're going to, let me explain it like this. If your eye hurts or your tooth aches, can you sleep at night? You cannot sleep at night. I've had a toothache or two, and let me tell you something. You get a good toothache, you're going to go see that dentist even though you hate to go to the dentist. Amen. The reality is that when your eye or a tooth hurts, you seek medical attention immediately. Here's the thing. Number two, it probably hurts incredibly terribly. And number three, you are trying to avoid further damage and permanent damage, and that is why you seek attention. Here is the problem with damaged emotions. Damaged emotions, number one, it normally does not hurt physically. When you have damage in your emotional life, it oftentimes does not hurt you physically. Number two, here's another reason why you don't address your damaged emotions. You can function to some degree, at least on the surface, when your emotions are damaged. You can. You got people who are emotionally hurting and damaged. In fact, let me say this one. All of you at some point, has anybody been depressed at any level at some point in your life? Amen. We've all been at some point a little bit depressed. You've been depressed, but you still go to work. Amen. You've had anxiety, and you still have to show up. Amen. You've had some emotional damage, and you still had to do the normal vicissitudes of life. And oftentimes, what we do is that we cover our emotional damage with a lot of other things. Because you can function to some degree. And number three, you fail to see how not treating your damaged emotions will harm you and others in your future. I'm talking about healing for damaged emotions. And some of the reasons that we put off seeking help and choosing to be healed is that we believe a few lies that we have been told. Lie number one, time will heal all wounds. Let me tell you something, time does not heal all wounds. If you have a compound fracture and you break your leg and you do not seek medical attention, you will be walking around with a crooked leg for the rest of your life because time does not heal all wounds. There are some traumas that you face that if you do not get emotional healing for it, you will be walking around bleeding on people who did not cut you. Time does not heal every wound. Here's another one. Real Christians should not experience emotional damage. That's another lie that we have been told. If you are a real Christian, you're not going to experience emotional damage. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You can be a blood wash, born again, saved, filled with the Holy Ghost Christian, but emotional damage can happen to anybody. Time does not heal all wounds. Emotional damage can happen to the best Christians. Here's myth number three that you follow. I can figure this out myself. Have you ever seen Christians feel like all I've got to do is read my memory verse and say two prayers and I can figure every problem out myself? That's what I found out about emotional damage. Unless you get professional help, oftentimes you will be walking around with the same traumas that you have been dealing with for your entire life. And number four, my problem really is not that bad. You're making a big deal about a little incident, a little trauma, a little situation. I'm not really that damaged. But the truth be told this morning is that all of us, if you are over 18 years old, you've probably experienced some level of damage. Everybody has experienced damage at one level or another. I know that some of you listening right now, you say, Pastor, I had a really good life. My parents were well adjusted. I'm okay. This is a good little message, but it's a message for somebody else. But let me come down your aisle. If your emotions are so intact, why is it that your wife can't say anything about your mama? If your emotions are so intact, then why is it always somebody else's fault? If your emotions are so intact, then why can't you keep your anger in check? If your emotions are so intact, then why does intimacy only happen in the dark? If your emotions are so intact, then why do you get defensive when your spouse brings up money? I'm coming down your aisle. If your emotions are so intact, then why can't you only commit to one person in a relationship? If your emotions are so intact, then why can't you keep a job for more than 6 months? If your emotions are so intact, then why is it that you don't have any real friends to call and to talk to when you're going through something? If your emotions are so intact, then why do you shut down anytime there's an argument with your husband or your wife? If your emotions are so intact, then why do you need a smoke just to calm your nerves? If your emotions are so intact, then why do you come home from work and take a sip of this or a puff of that every now and again? If your emotions are so intact, then why do you spend half of your check on clothes and shoes? If your emotions are so intact, why do you have a car you really can't afford? If your emotions are so intact, why are you popping pills to sleep at night and Folgers, Roma, to get up in the morning? If your emotions are so intact, why do you look in the mirror and think you are ugly when God has blessed you to be who you are? Everybody is sitting here thinking that I'm okay, and the reality is that you have some level of damage operating in your life. One of the first steps to overcoming damage is to recognize that I've got some damage. And so let me do this for somebody right now. Just look at somebody and just say to them, I'm damaged. I'm damaged. Look at somebody and say, I'm damaged. I'm damaged. I see y'all. Y'all don't even want to look at nobody. You say, Pastor, I ain't damaged. I'm okay. Pastor, I'm good. I don't have any issues. Pastor, I'm good. I don't got no faults. Pastor, I'm good. The reality is, if I come by your house and I spend a week with you, I will find where you are damaged. You can fool everybody else, but if I live with you for just a little bit, I'll be able to point out the areas that you have trauma and damage in your life. Because the reality is that you and I have been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You were born with, I love what Pastor Bushner said, two imperfect people loving each other perfectly. And the perfectly got an asterisk on it. Because, and let me tell you something, if you've been married for more than 5 years, don't let, single folk, let me help you. Don't let them married folk think that they married and they always happy. Don't let them fool you. It's work to stay married. Somebody, can I get an amen for my married folk? You got to work at this to stay married and be happily married. Because I've met people who are married, but they live in one room and another one live in another room. I've met married people who stay together because of optics, but they really hate each other's guts. One of the things that I found in Christianity is God cannot fix what you will not acknowledge that you're dealing with. Let me share with you a book that Professor Doggett had us read in Intro to Ministry. He had us read the book for this same title. It's a book by David Siemens. It's entitled Healing for Damaged Emotions. I would recommend that book to all Christians to read the book Healing for Damaged Emotion by David Siemens, because it lets us know that there's a level of healing that salvation does not reach. You can be saved. But in order for, and that's why sanctification is the work of a lifetime. That's why that's a work of a lifetime. When you are saved, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. But that's where the work begins, not where it ends. Let me give you just a few things before I get out of your way when it comes to healing your damaged emotions. Point number one is very important in healing your damaged emotions. Number one is that you have got to acknowledge that you have got some trauma that you're working through. I preach a sermon called the Ugly Duckling. And it's a sermon based on Rachel and Leah. And if you don't believe me that people have damaged emotions, Leah is a picture of somebody who has terrible emotional damage. You know the story. The story goes with Rachel and Leah. Jacob marries. He wants to marry Rachel, but Laban tricks him and gives him Leah. You know the story, and you know how the story goes. And that Leah is ushered into the room. She is clothed from head to toe. He cannot see who she is. The Bible says that that night they consummate the marriage, and in the morning, have mercy. Somebody say in the morning. Everything done in the darkness will come to the light. Somebody ought to say amen. The Bible says, I can only imagine that Leah, thinking about the beautiful night that her and her husband have just had, throws back the veil. And when Jacob sees that he has been duped, he has been tricked. I worked 7 years for Rachel, but instead you gave me Leah. And I can almost imagine the challenge. In fact, the Bible lets us know that he was so determined not to be forever connected to Leah that he worked 7 more years so that he can get Rachel, the one who he really wanted. The Bible says that she has sons for him. She has sons for this man, and she names each son out of her misery. Woo. Each son is named for a level. God has heard my cries. She names one son. Another son, she wrote, God has heard my misery. Another son, she names him that now my husband will love me, because nothing will make anybody love you until you learn to love yourself. Bible says she has one last son. His name is Judah. His name means praise. She learned at some point that no matter what people do to you, no matter what people say about you, you've got to learn to praise God for yourself, by yourself. All for listen, here's what's incredible about Leah is that through her pain, she births the ministry and the Messiah. She births Levi and Judah. Out of her pain, God blesses her. But this is still a wounded woman who has incredibly damaged emotions. And this is where my text comes from. Because my text says, listen to what the Word of God says here on today. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do you understand something intrinsically? The Bible says this: how will men know that you are my disciples? That by the love that you have one for another. Right? That's what the Bible says. That's how this world will know that we are his disciples. Here's the biggest problem. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you don't love yourself, how are you going to love your neighbor? And if you have emotional damage that precludes you from loving you, you won't be able to love anyone else. Ooh. That's one of the biggest challenges that I'm finding all over churches today. You know what the biggest challenge I'm finding when I come to churches? Everybody is wearing masks. Masks like they've got it together. Masks like they're okay. We come and we say the same, happy Sabbath. It's good to see. How are you doing? I'm doing wonderful and I'm doing fine. And nobody is being honest. Half of y'all in here probably on some kind of psychotropic medication. Depression, anxiety, sleeping pills, some kind of medication, because the truth be told, you're walking around damaged. You don't love you. And by virtue, you don't have the capacity to love anyone else, really. You're so focused on your own issues that we have a church, churches all around this globe that are so focused on our own pains, it's hard to love our neighbor as, well, here's reality. We are loving our neighbors like ourselves, and that's half the problem. Because we really don't love us. Because how could you love yourself if you are broken? How could you love yourself if you've got issues that haven't been healed? How could you love you if you're going through? So my message on this morning is simple. We've got to learn to love you. And if we're going to do that, we've got to be serious about our healing. Get some help. Talk to somebody. It's not a problem to see a therapist. In fact, everybody should probably talk to somebody about your damage. You should probably, if you've been married more than 10 years, then you probably every now and again should go, and even if you don't feel like there are any issues in the relationship, go and see somebody as a couple and talk through some things that can make your relationship better. I counsel couples all the time who people mask things and hide things, and there's somebody who's not saying what they really feel, and they're not really enjoying their life. But if I can say one thing, is that you probably have some level of damage that you need to address. Address it. You see things in your children, get them the help they need. Don't act like I can just pray this away. I can just put this under the rug. I've just seen too many families in Adventism just sweep issues under the rug, like just acting, avoiding them is going to make them disappear. That does not make them disappear. You've got to confront them. You've got to deal with them so that they can be truly set free to love themselves. That's how we win. We win when damage no longer runs the day. We win when I'm operating out of a healed place. We win when there's transparency in our relationship, when there are things that hurt me in this relationship that I can talk about. My wife and I think we've done a pretty good job as parenting, but even I have a sophomore at Oakwood, and I have a freshman who's taking a gap year. Have mercy. It's always that second kid that makes you realize that you need Jesus. but hear me. Even though we think we've done a great job, our kids have let us know that we were overboard on certain areas. And so we've sat our kids down and talked to them and said, listen, we want to apologize for the damage that we may have done to you doing our best. You realize that the best you've done still falls short? You've parented kids at any level. The best you've done falls short because you're still operating out of your own brokenness. Whew. And I said, apologize to our sons, and they've shed tears, and we've hugged each other and kissed each other, and we've let them know, if you need therapy, please go and seek it out. We will pay for it gladly. We've done the best we can do, but the best parents fall short. And we want them to know that their emotional well-being is bigger than us thinking we were the greatest parents on the planet. Absolutely. Imagine if your parents would have done that for you. What would that have done to make you feel a lot? I grew up with Caribbean parents who barely said, I love you. Barely gave you hugs. Barely told. Don't point at him. I grew up with them. Didn't know how to tell you how they were proud of you. Didn't know how to tell you that they were, you were the apple of their eye. Did not. So you grew up reaching for affirmation. You grew up reaching to hopefully that you were doing something great. You grew up not knowing. And that's why, hear me, somebody. That's why you get married, and when there's no, you grew up not having physical touch, and but then you married somebody who needs physical touch. And you wonder why there's difficulty. Because you learn to go without hugs because there were no hugs to be given in your home. But you married somebody who needs hugs. Who needs fit, or that there's, that's their love language, but you didn't know how to give it. So they're living with you, starving for a level of love that you don't know how to give. Woo! And then you wonder why intimacy, physical intimacy, is limited. Woo! That's a whole nother talk. But that's real. And what we've done is just learn to and live with it, but we've never addressed it. And we're walking around damaged. And that's what I'm praying today, that God will help us to be able to heal at the level of our damaged emotions. Father God, I thank you today that you've given me the opportunity to speak to your people about the damage that exists in all of our emotions at some level or another. Father, I pray that you help us to address it. I pray that you'd help us to heal. And I pray that you'd help us to love ourselves so that we can love others and we can all win and go home to be with you in glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.